are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter 21, and we have quite a bit of reading, so we'll begin. 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning at verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab the king, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominable in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. And then we continue in chapter 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servant, Know you that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to do battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, and now notice, not God said, not thus saith the Lord, but they said, in other words, it's their own opinion, not God's, Go up. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire him? Now, why do you suppose Jehoshaphat was a bit hesitant to run with the 400 prophets of Ahab, what they had said? Do you think that the man had a little bit on the ball? And he knew that if the majority of ministers believed a certain thing, the odds were that they had to be wrong? God doesn't use majorities. God never needs majorities. He never uses majorities. God has a one-man system, and he uses that one man at a time. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but only evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. In other words, he says, Oh, come on, Ahab, don't talk like that. If he's a man of God, he'll have to say what God tells him to say. Go get him, and let's hear from him. So then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither Micaiah the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gates of Samaria. Now, read this next verse very carefully. And all the prophets prophesied before them. I guess he must have been having a minister's meeting there while they're waiting for Micaiah to show up, because it says all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shenaniah, made his horns of iron, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until they have consumed them." Now, since when did God ever use any man-made equipment to do anything? When Saul wanted David to use his own armor, David said, "Hey, I don't need it. I can't use it." So God created five little stones, five smooth stones that killed Goliath. God never used man-made programs to fulfill his word. All right, verse 12. "And all the prophets prophesied, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word also, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." How ridiculous that sounds. Just say it like the rest of them are saying it, and you will be accepted. Just say nice things. Just say pleasant things, and you'll be accepted among the rest. Isn't that the way with man? Isn't that the way with preachers, even to this day? And I'm not just talking about denominational preachers. I'm talking about preachers right here in this message. Just say it the way that we want to hear it, the way that people want to hear it. Then you'll be accepted. But how can a man call himself a servant of God and be swayed by men like that? God wants his servants to say only what he wants them to say. And unless you're willing to stand alone and say it like he said it, you're not worthy to be called a servant of God. So we see that Micaiah said about the offer that they made him. And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." And that's the answer every true servant of God will give. So he came to the king, and the king said unto Micaiah, Shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered, "Go and prosper, and the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Now, I like this because it shows that Micaiah had a sense of humor. He sounded a little bit facetious to the king, mocked the very words of the 400 prophets. He must have said it in a sarcastic manner, because it certainly did not come across sincere to the king, because the king said unto him, verse 16, "How many times I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but what is truth in the name of the Lord." He didn't buy it for one second, see? And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd." That's what the Lord said, if you really want to know what he said. And the Lord said, "These have not no master. Let them return every man to his house." And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "Did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil?" And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, another said on this manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord, and he said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewithal? And he said, I will go down, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of Chenaniah went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek, and he said, Which way did the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of the Lord, go from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in the day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel saith, Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and Joash, and to Joash the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he saith, Hearken, O people, every one of you. It's a good thing that he had the people remember that, because when the king didn't return, it was the people that got him out. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I'll disguise myself and enter into the battle, but you put on your royal robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle, but the king of Syria commanded his 30 and two captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, Fight neither with the small nor the great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, Surely this must be the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joint of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the drivers of his chariot, Turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at the evening time. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which was spoken. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read from thy word this morning a very wonderful story in which we see how a righteous servant of thee will stay true to thy word regardless of everyone else going going in a different way. But help us, Lord, to be like this Micaiah, that faithful prophet who stood with the prophecy of Elijah, that spoke of the ill fate of King Ahab, and said only what was said by the prophet of that hour. As Brother Branham so many times said, say only what the tapes say, say what's on the tapes. Help us to stay true to the shout which you've given us, which you've given your modern day Elijah, for we ask it humbly, Father, in the precious name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you may be seated. Seems like we've already had our sermon this morning. That was really good reading, don't you think so? Now we could all go home now and we would know that we've heard from the Lord God this day, but I feel like I'd be a little neglectful if we left right now, because we have some other things that our dear prophet, Brother Branham, taught us in the sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed. And by the reading of this scripture, I believe it was to prepare our minds for what he has to say. Therefore, this morning, if we'll read five paragraphs from Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word is Original Seed, we'll begin at paragraph 189. In our reading, I want you to focus on just one thing this morning. That is how God's true ministers, his true prophets, are always zeroed in on the word for their hour. We'll hear Brother Branham tell us that many ministers will not understand the true prophet because they're too focused on what the false ones are doing or are having done. And by not being focused on the word, they'll be led off the chosen path. And so in paragraph 189, Brother Branham said, now remember Moses, he was born for the work. He had to wait on God for the extra gift for the job. He had to go back and wait. And for the time appointed by God, a certain Pharaoh had to be on the throne. And the people had to be wanting the bread of life before God would send him back. Now with thousands of sign workers in this last days has created a generation of sign seekers that knows no more, nothing about the true move of God in his word in these last days. And so what's happening is people are being distracted by sign seeking. And remember, a prophet is a sign to the people, but his doctrine is the voice of the sign. That's what Brother Branham taught us. So they don't want the voice of the sign, but they want the sign. They're sign seekers. Now I want you to think deeply on what he's saying here, because he's telling us that somehow the people are missing the truth of the word because they're focused on the wrong thing. It's just like in this message in general, they're focused on the man, William Branham, little boys be focused on Daniel Boone, you know, those kind of things. And so they've made a larger-than-life person out of the man, but they're failing to recognize the message that the man brought to us. And the message is what is going to change you. Paul said we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. All right. Now, from his sermon, Questions and Answers on God Being Misunderstood, Brother Branham said, today I'm misunderstood in my ministry that he sent me to the people. They misunderstand. Every one of them said, we believe Brother Branham. See, so he's not talking about people that don't believe him. These people say, we believe Brother Branham. I talked to a preacher a while ago. Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, we all know that you were sent to the church. But the idea is, how do you come baptizing in Jesus' name? They misunderstand the scriptures. They misunderstand it. That's what he sent me for. That's my purpose of being here. Why do you teach the serpent seed and things like that that's contrary to what we teach? Well, brother, that's why I'm here. They just misunderstand it. Amen. But God is bearing record in his word and by signs of the Holy Ghost. No matter how much they may misunderstand it, God's confirming his word. Amen. God's always been misunderstood, and those who live with God are misunderstood with God because it's God working in them. Amen. So here we have Brother Branham saying these people, you know, they attended his meetings by the thousands, hundreds of thousands. But they said, you know, we just don't look back down from the doctrine. Your doctrine is different from ours. That's not what we want. We want the miracles. We want the signs. We want the wonders. And Brother Ram said, see, they just don't get it. Because they don't, he said, because they don't understand the scripture. And that's the key to our understanding this message, is understanding it from the scripture. If you can't take the message back to the scripture, you don't know the message. You see? They are focused on signs instead of the word, and by doing so, they will miss the true move of God in his word, Brother Branham said. He says they will miss the true move of God in his word, he tells us. And he's speaking about people right in this message. He continues, as I have said, give them blood and oil and fleshly demonstrations on the platform, and they'll support it whether it's God's word or not, whether it's scriptural or not. Jesus had warned us of such things at the end time. As I said, Matthew 24, two spirits very close alike, deceive the very elected if possible. How can you tell them? Give them the word test. How can you know it? In other words, how do you give them the word test? Speak the word and see what they say about it. Wow, that's just that simple. Give them the doctrine. Give them the understanding that the prophet brought and see what they do with it. If they reject it, well, we're going to find out what it is if they reject it. He said the wrong seed, and it's not for them. If that isn't 100% truth, I don't know what is. Give them the word test, and how do you do that? He says, preach to them the truth of the word, the doctrine of the word, and see what they do with it. And their response will tell you what seed they are. That's what he says. And their response will tell you what seed they are. Now, don't get on my case about that. This is thus saith the Lord, according to a vindicated prophet. You want to get angry with them words, then get angry with God, because he told this prophet what to say, and he spoke mouth to mouth with this prophet, just as he did with Moses. That's Deuteronomy 18. I will speak mouth to mouth with my prophet. Notice Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the words which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which a prophet which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Too many people are afraid of the preachers. Listen, preachers aren't even prophets. If the preacher doesn't get up and say what the prophet said and bring it back to the scripture, he's not worthy of being your pastor. I'm sorry. And why should you be afraid of him? Too much Nicolaitanism in this message even. From Numbers 12 and 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, when then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God speaking mouth to mouth. So we hear Brother Bram tell us, how can you tell them? Give them the word test. How can you know it? Speak the word. See what they say about it. If they don't believe the word, they have no seed germ in them. They are of the evil one and deceive you. As the first bride was deceived and the second bride was deceived, they are deceivers of the third bride by hybriding the word or trying to. Oh, brother. I'll bet they gnashed their teeth when they heard Brother Branham say these words, not only in person but on tape. And I seen them gnash their teeth in hatred when I stood before them in different places around the world telling them the same thing Brother Branham said. Gnashing their teeth, very angry. But when I asked them to come up and stand before me with their Bible open, and show the whole group of ministers where I was wrong, they didn't move a muscle. Didn't move a muscle. Why? They have no word for what they believe. Don't think just because they claim to believe Brother Branham that they actually do. I've met nearly 3,000 ministers face to face, and I'm here to tell you the majority no more believe what he taught than the Pentecostals did when he was preaching to them face to face. Most of the ministers in this message who claim to believe it are in it for one thing. One of three things. Well, they're either too... here's the fact of most of the ministers. And I'm not saying this to be puffed up. I didn't go to theological school either. But they're too lazy either to get their LLD or DD, whatever, or whatever, out of the denominational school, so they come into this message, read a few books, and presto changeo, they're now full-fledged ministers to the message. And who says so? By your fruits you'll know them. So how can you tell me you're a message minister if you're not teaching the message of William Branham taught by the Scripture? Anybody can get up and read a few quotes. And you got, like Brother Branham said, you got the cow eating grass out of the tree. Like Jesus, you know, the Bible says that Judas went out and hung himself, and Jesus said, go ye therefore and do likewise. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, then what? Then you got death in the pot. Brother Branham continues in paragraph 190, God never placed signs ahead of His word. Amen. That's a scorcher. God never placed signs ahead of His word. Notice he says it twice for clarity, for emphasis. They, signs, were added for proof of the word, but the word is first. Now look, if you take the signs away from them, what are they going to have left? Now come here. I want you to listen. The prophet is a sign to his generation. Is that not true? Is that what the prophet said? From two sign overlooked? People overlooked the sign? But he also said from the voice of the sign, he said they wanted the sign, but they rejected the voice of the sign. And Brother Branham said the voice of the sign is the doctrine he brought. When he came, the prophet came with healing, miracles, wonders, they wanted that. You see? They can talk about the man, the man, the man, the man, the man. But when it comes to the doctrine that he taught, they don't want nothing to do with it. That tells you what seed they have, what seed they don't have. You see? Now, notice the problem we have even in this message. You had it in Pentecost when Brother Branham was here. They have it still, the Pentecostals in the message still. But notice he said, preach the word, teach the word, give them the word test by preaching it to them. And then you can see their reaction and how that they take it. But the word must come first. Then the signs will naturally follow because that is God's way. And listen, if you took the sign away from the whole picture, in other words, if you took Brother Branham out of the picture, what do you have? Well, if you're God's elect, you have what the prophet brought, the message, the doctrine of Christ, the relationship between God and His Son, the presence of God. You'd understand serpent seed, which is the other end of election and predestination. You'd understand the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. The evidence, the true evidence, is that you receive the word for the day in which you live. You understand it. It just makes complete sense to you. That's the true evidence, is because there's a spirit in you that says, amen. I receive it. That's right. But you take the sign, you take the prophet out of the picture to most of them, they can't talk about anything else but his hunting trips. Or the miracles. Or, you know, the big fantastic things that took place in the meetings. Because they won't talk about what he taught. And that's what's life to us. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. But he said the word must come first and the signs will naturally follow because that is God's way. He said the signs will follow. But they want signs, and God never did give them the signs first. He gave them His word, and then He vindicates that word by a supernatural presence, doing things to show that it's Him among us. I've never pointed the people to signs, and I'm not really interested in the signs myself. That's not to say that I haven't been blessed when God has come down by a supernatural way, but it's been always after and during the preaching of the truth, the preaching of the message, the preaching of the doctrine. When I came to this message, it was not because that I heard about the miracles, because I hadn't. And even if I had, it would not have fazed me in the least. I was raised Catholic. And most Catholics seek after signs. I remember in fourth grade going to St. Anne's Basilica in Montreal and watched people climb up and down those granite steps on their knees. And I don't remember how many there was, but I think going up and down was something like close to 70 steps, maybe 35 going up or something. But they climb up and down those granite steps on their knees, seeking a sign from God or healing or some favor. Pure nonsense. And I was young then, but sure seemed odd to me. So I didn't want signs, I wanted the truth. I wasn't interested in William Branham's doctrine. I was only interested in his doctrine. I wasn't interested in the miracles because I didn't know of any. The first book I got was the Seven Church Ages and the Seven Seals. It doesn't talk a whole lot about the miracles in those books. It talks about the Word. And that's what attracted me. I know that's what attracted some of you. Hopefully all of you. I was attracted to what the prophet had to say, and Brother Vail has known me since 1976, and he'll tell you that I've always been that way. Brother Ron knows me back in 74. That's what we talked about. That's what I gave him the books. I was interested in the doctrine. But you know what? Because I have stayed true to the teaching of this message, its doctrine, and because I have faithfully taught it, God has backed up my ministry with signs. I never asked for them, but He performed them, and no person that has ever been in my meetings can deny it. But I'm not focused on them because I know Satan can duplicate any of them. So there's only one place that I can place my trust and focus on, and that's, thus saith the Lord, a vindicated revelation. And you've got to take it back to the doctrine. Now, Brother Branham said back in the paragraph 173 of the Spoken Word's original seed, he said, now, it's rough, friends, it's very rough. I don't mean to be that myself, yeah. I hope you understand, see. But today I'm given the expression of why I have did these things the way I've done. Now, for just a little analysis before we dismiss for lunch is this. I want you to know that I have, this has been my motive, and my objective is God's Word. My motive is to please Him, and I can't listen to everything and believe God's Word. Neither can I listen to everything and please God. My motive is to know why His Word and to please God by serving Him in His Word. Not that I have anything against. Now, every person in here that's born of the Spirit of God, that's in the elected group, was perhaps once a Methodist or Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, or something or other. Now, you know that. You know that. So when you see, when you say, go out to them, that's what you have to do. There's somebody in there. If you sow the seed, there'll be a harvest someday. It'll fall. Some of it'll go by and say, oh, he's nothing but a deceiver. Didn't they say the same thing about our Lord? There's nothing to that. Well, then why don't you check it with me? See? He's nothing but a deceiver. Then check it with the Word. See, if it isn't the Word, then it's a deceiving. See, now if your theology is different from the Word, then it isn't right. Notice Brother Branham said that they called Jesus a deceiver. But he said, check it with the Word. Then he said that they say about me, he says, but just check it with the Word. And if it isn't the Word, then it's nothing but a deceiver. And then he also said, if your theology is different from what the Word of God says, then it isn't right. Now that's the thing they keep saying about Lee Vail and myself. They have their own message, they say, but when you show them what Brother Branham said and take it to the Word of God and show hundreds of scriptures to show what Brother Branham was saying, the way that he was preaching it, and it's right with the Word, they just can't take it, and so they revert to name calling. I've actually had them overseas. They tell the ministers over there, they say, all the scriptures and all the quotes that Kasorik says, just rip them out of your Bible. But they didn't say that. They actually said, just don't use them. Just don't use those quotes. Well, what are you going to do? You got a pretty holy, and I don't mean H-O-L-Y message. You got a message full of holes. One word removed is what? Plagues. No, excuse me. One word removed is death. Spiritual death. To add a word is the plagues. Look, this little book that I'm working on back here, it's kind of a latest rendition of the difference between the Father and Son. There's 20 pages in the book, but there's 365 scriptures. That's 18 scriptures per page. Showing the difference between the Father and Son. 18 scriptures per page. 365 scriptures, about 36 quotes from Brother Branham. You've got to, look, if you can't take this message back to the Word, you don't know it. You've got to know your Bibles. You can't just get up here with a stack of quote books and help the people. You just confuse the people. So what's the matter? What's the matter with those preachers out there? What's the matter? If you think that we're wrong in what we're teaching, then show us word where we're wrong. Because if you think that we're wrong, you're duty bound to God to come and show us. That's what Brother Branham said. I had one guy write a whole book trying to prove me wrong, Brother Vail wrong, but he couldn't do it by the word of God nor by the message of the hour, so he reverted to calling me a pig. Now I realize that I need to lose a little bit of weight. But certainly I'm no pig. And I'll be the first to admit that, you know, if I did lose a little weight, I'd look a lot healthier, be a lot healthier. But that's all they can do is to resort to trying to kill your influence, because they certainly do not know their Bible. And they certainly cannot say that, like the prophet taught it. You know, that man in particular, he said, well, it's okay for a woman to go out and commit adultery if she just does it once. Husband ought to be willing to forgive her for that. It's not what Brother Branham said. It's not what he said. He said a man has a right to put her away if she does that. But no, they think, you know, that they've got their own way. You see? But it's one thing to just misunderstand the word, and I have no qualms with anyone who just misunderstands what we're teaching. But it's another thing altogether to attack you when they don't even know what they're talking about. And you know, that's probably the biggest problem we have with gossip. Not only in the church, I'm not saying this church, but in the churches or amongst families, is that half the time what's being gossiped isn't even the truth. It's hearsay. And here's the thing. Unless you know for certain, don't even bring it up. Unless you've called the source, the person that's being gossiped about, and say, I heard this, is this true? And you have a right, I mean, you have a duty to do that. Now, Brother Branham said from his sermon, Questions and Answers, God Being Misunderstood, he said, you know, misunderstanding gets us in a lot of trouble. Many times the people say things that they repeat after somebody else, where they misunderstood them. They get a person in a lot of trouble. I believe it would be good for us all if we would just, well, wait till we understand what we're talking about. Don't you think so? I know it would be for me very good for me to find out first and then to say it. But when they outright deny the Son of God, they make him out to be some badger skin or some mask or some tent that God dwelt in, and then went back to gases after the sacrifice was done. Yeah. One preacher who claims to believe this message, he said the body of Jesus, like all sacrifices, after it was made, was consumed. And that body went back to gases. Now, can you imagine? The scripture says that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus, and he's making intercession for our confession. Can you imagine having an intercessor as a gas bag? No person there, just gas. I don't know what he ate. There's mine on gas all the time, but look, well, I shouldn't say that. Anyway. So they say, well, because you hit it so hard, you're mean-spirited. But listen, who is mean-spirited? Because they deny the Son of God? That's me mean-spirited. Not only evil, mean-spirited, but evil-spirited. Brother Branham said, from God's only chosen place of worship, he said, church, wherever you are, what you belong to makes no difference. But there's one thing that you must know. You've got to be in Christ or you're dead. You can't live outside of him. Your church might be all right as a building. Your fellowship might be all right as men. But when you deny the body, the blood, the word of Jesus Christ, you're dead the minute you do it. It's God's chosen place of worship. There's where his name is exactly. That's where he chose to put his name. Not in the church, but in the Son, Jesus Christ. Notice safety lies only in the place of his choosing, in his lamb, and in the name of the lamb. Notice it was a male lamb, and he, not a her, not a church, she, but his name, not her name, where he was going to meet the people was not in her name, but in his name, the lamb. In other words, God placed his name in his son. And we know the lamb of God is the son of God, period. And you know what? And I don't mean to sound like I'm ragging this morning, but I'm hitting what Brother Branham hit, okay? But these so-called preachers that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God are nothing but liars. I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. You think I'm being too rough, but how can you be any rougher than the Word of God? How can you say it any different than God said it in His Word? You think that way because you don't know God's Word. and you have not his spirit abiding in you, if you think I'm just up here being mean, because John said in 1 John 2:22, and who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? There's your definition of a liar. In fact, John doesn't call them just liars. He calls them antichrist, because the very next verse he says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus Christ is the Christ? He is antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And is a conjunction. It links two things. In fact, in 2 John, in verse 9, he says, he says, he that hath not the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that hath the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And in the next verse, in verse 23, says, whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. The same echoes not the Father. That word hath means echo. It's the Greek word echo. But he that acknowledges the Son echoes the Father also. So you can't even say the same thing that God said if you deny the Son of God in his sonship. Now, when I was in Uganda, we had 230 ministers at a three-day meeting in Kampala, and many of them could not get past their oneness theology, so I challenged them to come up with their Bibles open and prove what I was saying was wrong, and not a man, not a minister moved a muscle to stand up. They were scared stiff, because they had just heard me bring the doctrine from the Bible, hundreds if not thousands of scriptures over 2.5 days of ministry, proving from a vindicated prophet's own message, hundreds and hundreds of quotes, thousands of scriptures. And so they thought they'd trick me and bring 15 questions up. When we had questions and answers, we took the questions before lunch. And we took them with us, 12 questions. But they saved their hardest questions for later. And when we returned, they brought them up to the pulpit, so I didn't have time to review them. But it didn't matter, because most of these questions you get around the world anyway, from everywhere there's oneness individuals, they have the same questions. Their spirit is the same. And so within 15 minutes, I covered the 15 questions with 2 to 3 scriptures in each question. And you think I talk fast now, you should have heard me then. It sounded like a machine gun to me. It just like that, and the scripture just coming out. Then I challenged him after that. I said, now, if you believe that what I'm teaching is an error by this word, I said, you are duty obligated. Grab your Bible, come up and stand next to me. I dare you. No different than when Brother Branham challenged the 400 prophets of Baal, or the 400 Trinitarian ministers up in Chicago, to come up with their Bible and stand next to him. And he told Brother Baal, he said they were smart, because he said the angel of the Lord would have slayed them. No different than Elijah took on the 400 prophets of Baal. You say, well, you're trying to make yourself Elijah? No. How about Micaiah? There's 400 prophets of Israel that Micaiah stood against. You see, if you're truly called from God, there's always going to be an opposition. And when I finished, I challenged them to come and stand with their Bible, stand next to me, and show me in the scripture where I was wrong in my understanding of the Godhead. And as I already said, they didn't move a muscle. Why? Because they knew this was the same scene that took place in Chicago with Brother Branham. The same scene that took place with Elijah and the 400 prophets. And I'm no prophet, and certainly we've seen our Elijah. But as I said, there was a little guy named Micaiah that we read for our text. And he stood with Elijah. He said what Elijah said concerning Ahab. And the others smacked him in the mouth. The others thought they were big because they were with the organization. They were accepted amongst the 400 ministerial association. And this guy, this little guy, stood alone. But he stood with God. Now, as we read along, Brother Brown said, the word itself is what the Holy Spirit energizes. How can a messenger sent from God just believe some of the scriptures and not all of the word, deny part of it? The true prophet of God, paragraph 191, the true prophet of God will proclaim the word in the last days. Denominations will hate him. Oh, Brother Branham, would you quit talking about yourself? He will not pull any punches on them. He will be like he was when he come at the first coming of Christ. You generation of vipers, but the predestinated will hear and will make ready for the countdown. The royal seed of Abraham's faith, like him, holding to the word of God regardless, for he was predestinated. The messenger of Malachi 4 will appear at God's appointed time. We are all looking for him. We believe he will come. That is according to his word. It will be at the end time, which is time now for to see it. So if it's time now for to see it, then we're seeing it, right? He will be correctly dedicated to the word, as they have always been, indicated by God's word and a vindicator. God will vindicate what he preaches to be the truth, as he did Elijah, for it is Elijah's coming, making ready for the Mount Zion rapture. Jesus said in the last days it would be like Lot's time. His preaching will be with the Spirit and straight in line with the word of God. Because so much has been called God's truth, many will misunderstand this true messenger. I've got wrote here prophecy. Because so much has been called God's truth by fakers, many true ministers will misunderstand that messenger. So you see, the fakers have brought the truth into disrepute, and that's exactly what Peter prophesied would take place in this day. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, if you want to read with me, "But as there arose false prophets among the people, even as also among you there shall be false teachers, who will be of such as to bring alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, even denying the Lord to purchase them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their licentious conduct to his consummation, on account of whom the way of truth will be reviled. These men will come into the message and give a wrong understanding of the word of God, and the people will be caught up into what these men say as evil interpreters of the word of truth. And in the sphere of covetousness, with fabricated words, they will exploit you, for whom from ancient times their judgment has not been idle." So if the word of God says it, it's got to happen. And it's not being mean-spirited to say it's happening. It's just saying be careful and keep your ears open and take everything back to the word of God. So the confusion will be brought right into the message. And from his sermon, God had explained, Brother Branham said, many of you listening to this. So he's talking to the tape listeners. He says, many of you listening to this would say Brother Branham is a oneness. I am not. I think you're both wrong, both oneness and Trinity, not to be different, but it's always the middle of the road. So Brother Branham would say, I am not what you tape listeners think I am. You're getting it wrong. You're misunderstanding. Why? Because you're not taking it back to the Scriptures. So you see, he's talking about many who listen to him. Tape listeners. People who follow his ministry. Because he said, many of you listening to this. Now in a sermon, A Greater Than Solomon Is Here, Brother Branham was speaking about the Queen of Sheba and how that she was reading these scrolls, which Jehovah had promised. And she wanted to be sure that she read the word and seen that this gift compared with the word. There's the thing to do. Check it out. Check these things that's going around today and see if it's the Lord. Check it with the word. So Brother Branham is telling even us to check his own ministry with the word. So notice how we're told to check everything out by the word of God. Even the things that we saw in our day with the vindication of God in our midst of the people, and to check out the message by the word. Because if you think you hear Brother Branham say something and you can't find it in the word, you better be careful, because you might have a misunderstanding of what he's saying, and so you're going to apply it wrong. From ashamed of him, he said, "But my point was this: when you know that you're trying to do what is right, the first thing is, if you feel led to do anything, then check it with the word and see if it's right with the word, and then let nothing stop you. I don't care how many wheels the devil throws in your way; just move right over the top of them." I told my wife and I told Brother Wood when I got here and some friends that I met yesterday. I've had about 5 years here, and I hardly knew what to do. It's been a nervous. See, the revival itself amongst the churches has died. Everyone knows that. You feel it in this tabernacle. You feel it everywhere. There is a thump, a dead feeling. There's just something isn't right. It's because the revival enthusiasm has gone away from the people. Going to the churches, you see them sitting there, and the pastor stumbling around for a message in something or another, and the first thing you know, he turned it off onto some kind of a party that they're going to have or something. It seems to be a dead thump everywhere. Billy Graham notices it. Oral Roberts, Mr. Allen had some trouble, as you know. Oral Roberts has got that $50 million building and so forth in there. He's got a school, and well, there's nobody on the field now. When their eyes were open, from his message, when their eyes were open, he said, "And you take anything that's really way out in the phenomenal like that, always check it with the word. And if the word promised it, then it's only God rising on the scene again." I like that. That's the way every promise is. See, it was a promise and it was a phenomenon, very unusual. And many who loved him could not understand it because it was staggering to the whole world. And from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, "And while I was there on the platform and just having prayer, I thought that a plane was coming over. And I looked around at Dr. Vail here, and he thought the woman had reversed the air through the pipe organ or something. And it sounded like a thundering coming somewhere, like a thunder roaring, coming at a distance. And Billy jumped up, and I looked over to Brother Mercier here, which is a tape boy. And he and Brother Golden, my son, and them give out the prayer cards. And he thought he'd done something. And he'd seen me look at him. He said his heart was about to fail. He didn't know what it was. Then all of a sudden, coming right through the building, come like a whirl, like a wind. Only it wasn't a wind. It was a rumble like a wind. And just shook down and went out over the audience. And you see them turning white as it just waved over the audience. Just a repeat like Pentecost, like a rushing mighty wind." Now, I talked to Brother Vail about this because he was there. Brother Brandon mentioned he was there. But I've also talked to my father-in-law, my wife's dad. And her mother, they were both there. And they both said it sounded like a train roaring through the audience. And then Brother Branham's coat, it began to flap in the breeze, and his tie began to blow out like this, like in the breeze, like there was a great mighty rushing wind. They were there. They felt it. They heard it. It was all around them. And like Brother Branham said, many of the people in the audience began to turn white as they saw it coming, as they heard this thing coming out toward them. So Brother Brown continues, "But it wasn't a wind. It was just like an influence that went out like that. And I noticed the Bible said there came from heaven a sound as a rushing mighty wind." See? And I begin to check because I know the Holy Spirit never misbehaves itself. It's always right. So then I begin to check it with the Word. And then I turned over to St. John, the 12th chapter, when our Lord was praying one time. And while he was praying around some of his critics, well, the God of heaven spoke back to his Son. And the people who stood by said it thundered. Some of them said it was an angel spoke. But Jesus said it didn't come because of me or for my sake, but because of you. See? So he's always scripturally every time. So notice that even Brother Branham checked out this supernatural phenomena himself, took it right back to the Word. Now from his sermon influence, Brother Branham said, you try to do something that's a little contrary to your doctrine, and you say, "Oh, nonsense, check it with the Word. If it's the Word, believe it. If it's not, leave it alone. God will vindicate his Word is right." And from perseverance, he said, "There's all kinds of voices, but check it with the Word." And from "What shall I do with Jesus?" he said, "How the church ought to be checking it again and again and again and again. We're waiting for his coming. We're walking. We're waiting for the takeoff. We better check it with the Word, not what somebody else said. Be sure you know yourself as a personal experience with Christ. Check it again and again and again." That's why I say, I'm up here. I've got my notes before me. You've got your Bibles. We're reading from the same scriptures. And you've got some of you have them. We passed them up at the beginning when we started the series. Well, it's been almost 3 years now. But you have the Spoken Words Original Seed, the booklet. If you don't have it, I've got some in the back. You can come and get one. But you've got what Brother Branham said. So you've got what Brother Branham said. You've got what the Scripture says. Now, where have I been off from what he said? When I'm giving you back his Word, I'm giving you his Word and taking it to the Word. And running it from Genesis to Revelation. You see? That's because we've got to know what he said by the Word. From who is Jesus? He said, so we see they should have understood that, but they didn't. They had their theology of living good and being fine people. You know, and that's the theology of some people. Just living good and being fine people. That's their theology. And so forth. But they didn't understand what really their Messiah was to be. Do you know that could be again? That could so easily happen that we would misunderstand it in some way. Now, there's only one way to be sure, and that's find out what he was. Then the Scripture says he is the same. Find out how he will be manifested himself at the end time. It's written. See, he never does anything unless he reveals it first. He says so in the Scriptures. He does everything. He does nothing except he reveals it to his servants, the prophets, and he has revealed it. And this is his prophet. This is a book of prophecy. It's a complete revelation of Jesus Christ all the way through. Nothing to be added or taken from it. And we ought to search it and see what day that we're living in, because we might be caught in the same trap. Now, I ask you the question. How many of you read your Bible every day? How many of you are searching your Bible. Come on. Been in the message too long to do that anymore? You've arrived? Like one church in Colorado, they sent all their message stuff back to the voice of God. They said, we don't need it anymore. We've become the Word. They got rid of their Bibles. We've become the Word. All right. How wrong. From a deceived church, Brother Brown said, but as Israel was bound by their kings that they should not follow the real king, and the real king, when he did come, they didn't recognize him. So is it today, O Lord. The King of glory has appeared in the form of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, they don't want it. They don't recognize it. They're so organized, so tight, that they do not understand it because it's not in their organization. Lord, this is the work of the devil that's done this to the people. May the Samson of God, may the true in heart, those who are longing, crying, and pleading, and holding on, may they stay with it, Lord, until this new crop grows out. That's us. Until there comes forth a joy in Zion, and there comes forth a group that can recognize and that can understand. That can see the Messiah and the hidden power that's hid from the world that they will not understand now. Grant, Lord, that they'll see this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And from My Redeemer Liveth, in closing, Brother Brown said, don't you love Him? We sing that little song because we believe the Holy Ghost gospel is still dripping with blood. It's a way of persecution. It's a way of misunderstanding. That's right. The world don't know it. The world never knew it. The world will hate you. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. They don't understand it. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But there's something down in the believer's heart that says, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know it beyond a doubt. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that what you have put forth in this word must be come into manifestation. And so, Lord, we realize, as your prophet said, the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. And so we can apply your entire New Testament to what is happening in this hour. The Alpha must repeat in Omega. So help us, Father, everything that your prophet brings, everything that I bring, and everything that any preacher brings, may we take it back to the Word. Because if we don't take it to the Word and understand it from the Word, we'll never have the correct understanding. Help us, Father, because you gave us your Word for a purpose. Paul said, I would not that you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And so, Father, we don't want ignorance, but, Father, rather, you said that you would bring the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of yourself. And that's what we ask for, O God, and that we know you have come down to do such. And so we just lay ourselves before, and we just, as Brother Brown said, we just lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. And we ask that you would ripen us into fully mature children, O God. Fully mature adults, sons and daughters of God. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able.